my basement.
Oh, you're in the bunker.
Hey, I like the curtains. I like the camo curtains.
Camo curtains.
Yeah.
It's Bill Jack in studio with me today. Hey. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing better than I deserve, as the saying goes.
Allergies are taking you down.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
I look like a Halloween pumpkin.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. That's okay. It's radio. Well, today...
I have a face for it.
We're going to look at states' rights and what's happening in education. And thankfully, we exempted ourselves from public education, so that resolves a lot of issues.
Not Colorado, but you personally.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
right.
And Colorado, I did too. Did, yeah, no, Colorado.
But you know, there are a few states that have exempted themselves from Common Core standards. Oklahoma being one of them. And I don't know if you noticed this, but the U.S. Department of Education is punishing the state of Oklahoma for that.
Yes.
They called them up to the principal's office.
Yes.
And they gave them a few whacks.
They gave them a schooling.
Yeah, they did. They're not happy at all about this. Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon said in a statement, "It's outrageous that President Obama and Washington bureaucrats are trying to dictate how Oklahoma schools spend education dollars. Because of overwhelming opposition from Oklahoma parents and voters to Common Core, Washington is now acting to punish us." Why not? They've been trying to centralize education since 1976. So the centralization, the standardization of education is essential for the development of the totalitarian state. How many times do we have to tell you this? And you've aggrandized the public education budget at the U.S. Department of Education, and you're going to see this kind of thing happening. There's no question. Yeah. I'm having a hard time really understanding what they're doing to punish them, but evidently it's something like a gun to the head. You do this or else.
No money.
Or no money. And they're forcing them into a 100% of Oklahoma students performing math and reading at grade level at most schools by this school year. The USED expects the state to use student test results from last school year to determine which schools are meeting the requirement. Those schools that fall short will have to take steps towards improvement. Oklahoma will also have to set aside about $20 million in federal Title I dollars to pay for tutoring, school choice, etc. So apparently, they're getting other monies. And if they don't follow these stricter requirements, they're going to lose yet more money from the Department of Education. So of them are at the trough. I think all 50 states are at the trough trying to pull something out of the $141 billion of Department of Education funds to aggrandize themselves. And if they don't get it, then I guess everybody's going to have to homeschool in Oklahoma.
You know what's ironic about this is that Governor Fallon also serves as the chairwoman of the National Governors Association.
Oh, yeah.
Which was one of the developers and owners of the copyright of the Common Core Standards.
Is that right?
Yes. And she signed a repeal bill of Common Core Standards because Oklahoma parents
they didn't
put
like
so much
it.
Pressure on
That's
them.
Right. Yeah. The Oklahoma parents didn't like Common Core, said, we don't want to be federalized.
She serves as the chairwoman of the owner of copyright.
And all of this points to states' rights. I think that individual states are starting to peel off of the centralized standards from Washington, D.C. And the centralized standards are dangerous. Common Core centralized standards inevitably will incorporate more of a monolithic worldview, humanistic, naturalistic, materialistic worldview in all the schools and every dotting, every little village and town on the countrysides across America. And evidently, Oklahoma is trying to push back on this. Now, why is this happening? Here's why this is happening. Let me show you this. I'm going to just hold this up so everybody can see it.
Everybody got the radio cam on?
Yep. You got your radio cam on?
There it is. You can see it.
There it is. Why don't you describe it for the listening audience? This is the reason for the gun to the head in Oklahoma.
It's a chart.
And it shows a bar graph. And it's going which direction?
And bars start really low on the left, and then they get really, 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 really tall on the right hand side.
There you go. So there, Bill Jack has just explained to you the reason.
Yeah.
It's Department of Education budgets since 1980.
Oh, it's the funding.
That's right.
Yeah, the money.
It's increased by about 3.0% to 2005 and all the way up to the present year, $141 billion. I'm doing the numbers here. Hang on for just one second.
So what you're saying is show me the money?
It's increased by five times on constant dollars since 1980. That means follow the dollars.
Oh.
That's right. And here, what has happened? during the Clinton era, pretty much stabilized during the Clinton era. So no increase.
Oh, to go back to the glory days of the Clinton era.
If we could just return to the Clinton era.
Yes.
Would be...
Things would be hunky-dory.
Hunky-dory, yeah. But what happened after Clinton? I want you to describe what's happening after Clinton.
What's happened after Clinton is that it doubled under George Bush.
That's right. Doubled under George W. Bush and
Republican.
Dollars. That's right.
And then it doubled again.
Again under Barack Obama.
So it's doubling down.
Yeah, yeah. You remember that time that Barack Obama and George W. Bush hugged each other? Do you remember that?
I missed that one. Okay, I missed that one.
Well, that's kind of what's happening here in the funding of the Department of Education budget, which, as from my perspective, probably the most dangerous area of totalitarian socialist centralized control in America happens in education. Yep. And we're certainly seeing that with Common Core. Gun to the head. Why? Because for some reason, the Republicans and Democrats both have been enthusiastic about the increasing of education budget from roughly $30 billion. Yeah, $30 billion under the Clinton era to $75 billion under George W. Bush, up to $141 billion under Barack Obama.
It's all for the children.
And the $141 billion constitutes 14% of the overall education funding in America, my friends.
Have you seen
any
of that money?
And you get to that point, I don't see any of that money.
You don't see that money?
And, you know... Here's what's happening in Colorado, $12,000 per student across the state of Colorado. I'm saving the government some $60,000 a year by homeschooling my kids, and I have yet to see a thank you card from the governor.
No. Maybe he doesn't have money for stamps.
Well, 14 cents. I mean, come on. I'm talking about postcard, Bill.
A postcard.
I'm talking about Dear Kevin, thanks. Love, Gov. Okay, that's all I'm saying. All I need is a thank you card from the governor of the state of Colorado.
You just want a hug.
I want a hug.
Needs a hug.
That's all I need.
Come here. Come here. I'll give you a hug.
I don't even need a real hug. Oh. All I need is X's and O's.
A virtual hug.
Yeah, on a postcard. And he can mass produce them and send them to 40,000 homeschoolers, saving the state some $60,000 per family.
But no, they're not really doing that because you got to pay for all those truancy officers that check up on us and make sure that we're homeschooling.
That's right. I'm forgetting that. States' rights, friends, the only possibility for restoring some freedom in America is not going to happen in Washington, D.C. anytime too soon. The only possibility for salvaging freedom in America has got to be states' rights, Mary Fallon, Oklahoma standing up to it, but they're already at the trough. They're already taking billions of dollars of federal funding, and they probably do not want to jettison that funding. Be back in just a moment, friends, with more on the Generations Radio broadcast as we talk states' rights today. Can we salvage faith, family, and freedom in a state government somewhere in the United States? Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. For thousands of years, families would work together in the fields in a family economy. Little boys would plow the fields next to dad, and everybody would help with harvest. Pickin' time. Well, now youth unemployment and underemployment rates stand at 80%, double what it was in 2001, two recessions ago. Unemployment and underemployment for college graduates exceeds 50%. And 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. Back in 1930, 70% of 15-year-old boys were still working on the family farms. Now they play computer games until they're 30 years old. No, make that 35. The family economy has virtually disappeared in the last 50 years, but we're bringing it back. Generations with Vision is sponsoring family economics conferences all over the country. In 2014, we're sponsoring conferences in Denver and Kansas City, Missouri. We're getting together with thousands of families to talk about family integrated economies, mentoring your sons and daughters in business, and trusting God to provide the increase. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. And we're back on the Generation 3 broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Bill Jack also in studio talking rights. Bill, you know, it's not just Oklahoma that's exempted themselves from Common Core. Apparently, Indiana did the same thing. Mike Pence declared himself the first governor to repeal Common Core standards and states replacement standards. Apparently are remarkably similar to Common Core.
Right.
And as such, still meet the requirements for the waiver.
So he got a waiver.
So they're apparently still getting the dollars for the time being. Also, as it turns out, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal also filed a lawsuit against the Obama administration alleging that it illegally manipulated states with federal grant money and regulations.
No.
Hello?
Are you kidding me?
What else do you do with $141 billion of federal funding on education?
Oh, Kevin.
What else do you do?
Kevin, if you can't trust the government, whom can you trust?
Follow the money, friends. Of course. Of course they're going to force the states to march according to centralized standards and regulations. Of course they are. Why? Because the U.S. Department of Education is funding the states in a probably six or seven different areas. I didn't have time to survey the budget this morning, but I took a glance at the budget and saw that they were helping the states in a number of different areas. And I even clicked on the graph that indicates the amount of money each state receives from the U.S. Department of Education, and it is substantial, okay? So the states want the money. Follow the money. And if as long as the taxpayers are electing George W. Bush and Barack Obama as president of the United States, Republicans and Democrats, as long as we're supporting Republicans and Democrats, we're going to continue to see an increase in funding for the Department of Education, a centralization of power over education in every school district in America. And friends, you're signing up for it. You're voting for it. So until you vote for Republicans who bind themselves to do everything possible to defund the Department of Education, you're going to continue to see this kind of thing, and you might as well just sign up to Common Core and forget about it. However, the few of you who want to exempt yourselves from Common Core, try homeschooling.
Yeah, but then you won't get any money, Kevin.
I know, but we might get a postcard.
A postcard?
A postcard
from
Kev. Still waiting.
Thanks.
I get down to my mailbox every day, just sit there waiting for the mail.
I like to do
that. Waiting for the postcard from the governor, thanking me for the work that I do, saving the government $60,000. And let's figure it out for a second. The 50,000 kids homeschooled in the state of Colorado save the government approximately...
Oh, I see the wheels turning. I see
$50 million.
$50 million.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, that could pay for a few postcards.
Excuse me, it's more than that. It's $500 million.
Oh, now you're working for the government. You're
$500 million. The 50,000 homeschooled students in the state of Colorado save the government $500 million. And it's my guess they have yet to send a postcard thanking the parents for their hard work. Forget the tax credit for a minute.
Yeah, tax credit.
Forget the tax credit for a minute. All I'm asking for is one lousy postcard.
Dear Kev, love Gov.
That's it. That's it. Okay. All right. Now, as it turns out, New Hampshire is doing better than postcards.
No.
Yeah. They got a tax credit now.
Maybe it's an email.
New Hampshire got more than a postcard. They got tax credits for religious schools. Religious schools in the state of New Hampshire. New Hampshire is kind of known as a state that's still sort of free.
Yeah.
Around the edges. I think you can own a gun there. I think you can. I think you can still own a gun in New Hampshire.
Yeah, but they live right next to Vermont.
And tax credits, not for guns, not to buy guns, but a tax credit for religious schools. And the New Hampshire Supreme Court just upheld the state's tax credit program that allows for funds to go to religious schools. In an opinion delivered last week, okay, what is this? ChristianPost.com. In an opinion delivered last week, the court unanimously overturned a lower court ruling regarding the tax credit. The court concluded that the plaintiffs lack standing on the tax credit, having failed to sufficiently argue that the credit caused them undue injury or harm. It hard to prove that. Okay, so that's good news, huh?
That is good news.
New Hampshire has, and that puts a little teeny weeny crack in the monopoly of public education in the state of New Hampshire. And of course, the enemies to all that is free are up in arms over it. Because remember, if you free a people in the area of education, you unplug them from the matrix in the education area, you're going to see a little bit more freedom in the way a person thinks, the way a person votes. Chances are, if they have been exempted from state-funded education, you haven't sent your kids to socialist education where governments educate them, governments feed them, governments take care of them, chances are they won't vote socialist in the year 2024, and that is anathema to the Republicans and Democrats that have embraced socialism and want America to be a thoroughly communist state by the year 2024.
You're gloom and doom this morning. You know,
I'm upbeat about New Hampshire. I'm not upbeat about Washington.
We need to pull the camo curtains back and let you see the sun and the sunshine and the glorious day that it is outside in Colorado.
Okay, here's more good news. You
want to hear? I want some good news. Yeah.
Hey, New Hampshire was good news. New Hampshire is good news. Get your kids out of the public schools. Get them a tax credit if you can.
Move to New Hampshire.
All right, here's a beautiful state. More good news. There's good news in Tennessee. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about Tennessee.
Yeah, a lot
of my friends have moved to Tennessee.
I have relatives in Tennessee.
A lot of my friends have moved to Tennessee. It's like the new Plymouth plantation.
I thought you meant the land of the free, home of the brave.
Remember the Pilgrims with the hats?
Yeah.
Remember them moving?
Yeah,
to
Thanksgiving Day game, yeah, yeah, game yeah, yeah, day
yeah, all
parades.
That, yeah, all that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they started a Macy's Day parade, didn't they?
Okay, we're going to talk about same-sex marriage. The freight train was derailed in Tennessee.
Well, that's good news.
This is onenewsnow.com. For the first time since June of 2013, you know, we've had a lot of bad news on this one.
Yes, we have.
Okay. Yep. In fact, I think it was every other week.
Yes.
I think you were getting sick of it.
Yeah, I was tired of this story.
Yep. But this is the good news, okay? For the first time since June of 2013, stemming the tide of dozens of federal and state appeals court decisions striking down biblical marriage protection amendments that ban same-sex unions, a judge in Tennessee has ruled that his state's marriage protection amendment promoting family continuity and stability is certainly a legitimate state interest.
Really?
Yeah.
We got
a good judge.
Wow.
There's a good judge in America.
In Tennessee.
And he lives in Tennessee.
Well, we've got to root him out. You
want to know his name? Russell Simmons.
Oh, no. Don't give his name out.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I just blew it.
Oh. They're going to find him.
They're going to find him and they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
They're going to find something to dismiss him on.
Yeah.
So at what level?
This is Tennessee. It's the state of Tennessee. Roane County Circuit Judge Russell Simmons. This is not a big guy. This is not like Supreme Court guy.
Yeah.
This is rinky dink little Russell Simmons.
But all politics is local.
Yeah, it is. And so this is the first time one judge in some little rural county in Tennessee has taken the stand against homosexual marriage, the neuronic agenda. In the state of Tennessee.
That's good news.
Yeah,
people should be cheering. They should be cheering on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a picture. You want to see his picture?
No, don't show it on radio.
I'm not going to show it. I'm just going to show it to you.
Okay.
There he is.
And a fine-looking judge he is,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Okay, also, Louisiana has done something similar. A federal judge in Louisiana threw a roadblock.
A federal judge?
Yeah, this guy's a little more important. On what advocates thought would be an expressway towards establishing gay marriage as a fundamental national right, ruling that the state's ban on such unions was constitutional. He wrote a 32-page decision on Louisiana's refusal to recognize gay marriage performed legally in other states. The ruling, which plaintiffs said would be appealed, marks the first such loss in federal court since the U.S. Supreme Court struck down part of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act last year. So apparently it's the state's 2004 amendment was approved by 78% of the electorate.
That's amazing. In today's educational arena, you would not find 78% of students who would say it's wrong.
No. Yeah. They didn't survey the millennial generation on
that's
that
one. Right.
Chances are there were a fair number of silent generations and boomers in that particular amendment election. All right, so here's where we're at. You want to hear the assessment of where we are at on the neuronic agenda, homosexual marriage in the state, in the United States. Here it is, 43.5% of the United States population state-wise, in terms of the states that have signed up to homosexual marriage. 43.5% of the United States population state-wise has approved of homosexual marriage. 30.8% of the United States population statewide, judges have stopped homosexual bans or marriage bans for the time being.
Wow.
Until the Supreme Court of the United States approves it. So right now we stand at 74% of America has approved a homosexual marriage, 43.5% by legislature, 38.8% by judges, you know, the guys on the bench doing the revolutionary thing, and the remaining 26% of the United States population statewide have bans still in place. That includes most of the southern states, except for Texas and Florida. The heartland, Kansas, Nebraska, Dakotas, Missouri, Montana, and Wyoming. Wow. These are the last states standing and saying, we really don't want to go with the neuronic agenda. We want to still salvage civilization in America. And well, you know, there may be some civilization salvaged in Montana. I can see that happening.
Yep.
I can see that happening. There's a couple of ranchers are going to say, yeah, I think we still want to have the biblical traditional marriage in place by the year 2060 in order to salvage human civilization, human society. When are the liberals going to discover that destroying marriage at the most fundamental social level will destroy society?
Oh, that's the goal.
When will they figure that out?
That's the goal. They've already figured that out.
You know what? Yesterday we were talking about this. This woman had gone to a communist club meeting in her college years. This was 1969.
Yeah.
And they went through this liturgy where they were asking questions. And the questions had to do with the Cultural Revolution. Why do we want to do a Cultural Revolution? And it was sort of a liturgy. They go back and forth. And we want to destroy the cultural. We want a Cultural Revolution because we want to destroy the family. And how do we destroy the family? We destroy the family by destroying patriarchy or the father.
Right.
How do you destroy the father? We destroy father by destroying sexuality, bringing as much promiscuity and pornography and all that to bear in order to destroy the. So it went on and on. And so we added two more questions. Why do you want a cultural revolution? Because you want to destroy society. But why do you want to destroy society? Because Marx claimed himself to be the destroyer. He called himself the destroyer in his personal private poetry in his writings. And why is Karl Marx referring to himself as destroyer? Because he admitted to being in a pact with Satan himself, and Apollyon is the destroyer.
Right.
So that's the answer. The answer is yes, of course.
Yeah.
Satan loves destroying human society. Marx admitted to wanting to destroy all of human society, all of civilization. He admitted to that. That was his agenda. And so as all of the feminists, all the Marxists, and all the socialists have lined up to do everything they can at various levels, of course, to destroy the family and to, of course, centralize power in Washington and then impose the neuronic wedding, the neuronic marriage thing, and impose government socialist welfare upon 60, 70, 80% of the population. Gradually, the family is undermined. The father is destroyed. The father has no purpose in the home anymore, and women become, quote unquote, independent of the family in order that they might be the 64% of millennial women having children out of wedlock in order to create a society in which the family is irrelevant. And where a society in which the family is irrelevant is a society that is broken down, friends. That's how you break down civilization. Now, the left may not be entirely epistemologically self-conscious on this one. They may not say, yes, we're about destroying humanity off the face of the earth. They may not say that.
No.
But that's the agenda. The people that are really smart, the people who know what they're doing, the people who have signed on the bottom line, know that that's the agenda. Just read Karl Marx's writings, and I've got the quotes in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Now, note on the cover of my book there, Bill, I didn't say the men who destroyed Christianity. I'm just saying it's the people who destroyed
the Christian
Western civilization.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying there. The Church of Jesus Christ is very much alive and doing very well on planet Earth and will emerge victorious again and again, proving the point that you abandon a biblical concept of the family and you will destroy society. But the good news is that there's some decentralization amongst the various states.
Yes.
That's a good thing. What do you think? You think there'll be a secession at some point, Bill?
I don't know.
Hard to say, huh?
I doubt it, but simply because you follow the money.
Yeah.
Well,
the money
has a hook.
As long as the federal budget is, what, $7 trillion a year consuming, I think right now 38% of the GNI, I can't remember how much of it, but a lot of it. And I'm not sure I've got the numbers between state funding and federal funding. If I'm not mistaken, state funding is somewhere around 20% of the gross national income. So take all the state governments together.
Right.
OK, Okay, they're running about 20% of the gross national income. So you pull all the governors into a room.
That's scary.
They're controlling about 20% of the gross national income. But the federal government is upwards in the 33, 35, 38%. Right. They're way up there. So the federal government consumes more of the GNI and spends more money than all of the state governments combined by a long shot. That's an important data point. Because what does that tell you?
It tells me that the government's going to...
Federal government consumes the states.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Which is not exactly what our founders intended with the Constitution.
No. So why is it that, you know, Mary Fallon or Mike Pence, as governors who say that they're opposed to Common Core, I know this sounds very simplistic. Why don't they say we're going to cut off our funding to the federal government. We're going to fund our own schools. Why? Because
Four letters. G-U-T-S.
I was public school.
I'm helping.
I'm sorry.
Guts.
I was an English teacher.
Four letters. Guts. Bill, it's guts.
Yeah.
You got to admit, it's going to take some guts.
What would happen? Okay, let's say we find a governor who says, I'm going to cut off sending our tax money to the education department. We're going to fund our own schools.
He's not going to be appreciated by his bureaucracy. Okay. It's number one.
Okay.
The bureaucracy will put a contract out on his life.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, he's going to have a hard time getting a legislature to back him up because not only does the governor need guts,
but
a third of the House or Senate need guts too. See, now that's going to be hard because you're going to have to find more than one guy in the state of Colorado or Texas or Louisiana with guts. And that's hard.
It is.
That's going to be hard to do. So, yeah, I think that's it. I think that's pretty much it. You got to have somebody with guts. And here's the other thing you're probably going to need. You're probably going to need a pretty decent state defense force.
Yes, because they're going to come after you.
They're probably going to come after you. Yep. Yeah. All right, my friends, states' rights. We'll see how things go. I think what's going to happen, though, Bill, is there will come a point at which Texas will not want to bail out California.
That is very likely.
And this counts for something.
Yeah. Oh, you got your visa.
Out. I got my wallet.
You got
out.
Your visa that allows you into the state of Texas.
You know, money counts for something.
Oh, I thought.
Money counts for something. When you start touching the pocketbook, okay, and Texas is going to have to bail out California in the next big depression or recession. You know what? I think Texas is going to say, you guys have a good time. You guys just have a good time.
We're going to close the borders.
We're going to close the borders, and we're just going to do our own thing.
Yeah.
You can call us Republic of Texas from now on. Here's our letterhead. Here's our address.
Do you think Alaska might do that?
It's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible. All right, but they are on, I think, the federal bennies as well.
Oh, they are.
All right, my friends. You've been listening to this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. If you're interested in some of what we've been talking about today, my book, The Second Mayflower, is still available on our website. In fact, I pulled out an old edition because it's got some really good stuff in it concerning states' rights and a political agenda that could salvage freedom in the next 10, 15, 20, 25 years. I wrote that book back in 94. It's been updated a few times. The Second Mayflower is available at our website, KevinSwanson.com. Hey, thanks, Bill, for joining us today.
Hey. Generations Podcast. You know what? If they get the Second Mayflower, I'll be happy to sign it.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
If you want Bill Jack's signature, he'll put it in the front cover of the Second Mayflower.
That'll devalue the book.
Yeah. It usually loses $5 on eBay.
Yeah, it does.
Do that.
It does.
Okay. Yeah. Bill Jack, the face of the book. All right. If the author defaces it, it loses about $10 on eBay. All right, my friends. Again, our resources available at KevinSwanson.com, GeneratorsWithVision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the future.